Have you ever wondered why, despite following all the rules, those stubborn pounds refuse to budge? The conventional wisdom about weight loss seems straightforward: eat less, move more. Yet this approach has spectacularly failed. Obesity rates continue to soar despite countless calorie-restricted diets. The truth is far more complex and liberating. Weight management isn't about willpower or moral failure. It's about biology, specifically hormones. When you reduce calories, your body automatically reduces energy expenditure to match. Your metabolism can vary by up to 50% depending on hormonal signals. We don't consciously control eating. Powerful hormones regulate hunger and satiety. Multiple hormones tightly control body fat. And different foods trigger vastly different hormonal responses. Consider the devastating evidence from the Women's Health Initiative Dietary Modification Trial. Nearly 50,000 women followed a low-fat, reduced-calorie diet for over 7 years. Despite successfully reducing daily intake by 342 calories, they lost barely 1 pound. Even worse, their waist measurements increased, indicating they'd actually gained fat while losing muscle. This pattern is familiar to anyone who's dieted. You eat less, lose some weight, then plateau as metabolism slows and hunger increases. Eventually, you return to normal eating, but with a slower metabolism, quickly regaining all the lost weight plus more. Everyone silently blames you for failing, when in reality, you're simply responding to powerful biological signals. Despite exercising 135 days yearly, Americans have triple the obesity rates of less active Europeans. Even Hadza hunter-gatherers, walking 15-20 miles daily, burn similar calories to office workers. The math explains why. A 45-minute moderate walk burns only 104 calories, less than 5% of an average male's daily 2,500-calorie expenditure. Our bodies also compensate for exercise by increasing food intake. Harvard found children eat 292 extra calories per exercise hour and reducing other physical activity. This explains why a 10-month study of 5 times weekly exercise sessions burning 600 calories each led to just 10 pounds lost instead of the expected 35 pounds. Exercise is like brushing your teeth. Essential for health, but not weight loss. Diet does 95% of the work, while exercise plays a supporting role. Personal trainer Sam Feltham's self-experiment challenged conventional calorie wisdom. Consuming 5,794 calories daily for 21 days on a low-carb, high-fat diet, he gained only 2.8 pounds and lost an inch from his waist. However, eating similar calories on a high-carb diet led to 15.6 pounds of gain and 3.6 inches on his waist. Dr. Ethan Sims' overfeeding studies showed comparable results. Lean students struggled to gain weight voluntarily, and prisoners fed 4,000 calories daily eventually stabilized as their metabolism increased by 50% to burn excess calories. Our bodies maintain a predetermined set point weight through homeostatic mechanisms. Below this point, hunger increases and metabolism slows. Above it, appetite decreases and metabolism rises. The core issue in obesity isn't overeating, but an elevated set point that drives increased food intake. The key question becomes, what determines this set point and how can we lower it? Obesity stems from hormonal imbalance, not excess calories, with insulin playing the central role. This is clearly demonstrated in clinical settings. Prescribing insulin reliably causes weight gain, regardless of willpower or exercise habits. The 1993 Diabetes Control and Complications Trial showed type 1 diabetics on high-dose insulin gained 9.8 pounds more than the standard group. Another study that year found patients gained 19 pounds despite eating 300 fewer calories daily, proving insulin's direct impact on weight gain. Diabetes medications provide additional evidence. Those that increase insulin levels cause weight gain, while those reducing insulin promote weight loss. modern SGLT2 inhibitors, which lower insulin by 43%, consistently produce fat loss. Conversely, untreated type 1 diabetics who lack insulin lose weight despite high caloric intake. Research indicates insulin levels predict 75% of weight loss success, far more than willpower, calories, or exercise. Oprah Winfrey's weight struggles, despite access to top resources, demonstrate how challenging long-term weight management can be. While obesity typically develops slowly at 1 to 2 pounds yearly, the accumulated weight becomes increasingly difficult to lose over time. Insulin resistance is the crucial factor. When insulin, the key, stops fitting properly into cell receptors, the lock, the body compensates by producing more insulin. This creates a vicious cycle. Insulin causes insulin resistance, which in turn demands more insulin, making the condition progressively worse. The timing of food intake plays a vital role. In the 1960s, Americans ate 3 daily meals with 14-hour fasting periods, keeping obesity rates lower despite unhealthy food choices. By 2003, most people were eating 5 to 6 times daily, creating constant insulin exposure that promotes insulin resistance and makes weight loss increasingly difficult. While sugar's fattening effects were noted in the 1977 dietary guidelines, anti-fat messaging overshadowed this warning. Sugar consumption and obesity rates rose in parallel from 1977 to 2000, with diabetes increases following a decade later. Glucose and fructose metabolize differently. While glucose can be used by most body cells, fructose processes only in the liver. Table sugar is equal parts glucose and fructose, while high fructose corn syrup is 55% fructose and 45% glucose. The liver's exclusive role in fructose metabolism creates a concentrated burden. Excess fructose converts directly to fat, as there's no regulatory system to manage it, leading to fatty liver disease and insulin resistance. Research demonstrates fructose's rapid harmful effects. Subjects consuming 1,000 extra fructose calories daily showed 25% worse insulin sensitivity in just 7 days. Another study found that getting 25% of calories from fructose induced prediabetes within 8 weeks, while glucose did not. This creates a cycle where insulin resistance increases insulin levels, promoting more liver fat storage and further insulin resistance. Long-term dieting fails because it doesn't address insulin resistance. While changing what we eat helps initially, we need periods of very low insulin levels, which fasting provides. When glucose is unavailable, the body adapts by using fat for energy, transitioning from stored glycogen to producing ketones for brain fuel. Since all foods raise insulin, fasting is the most effective way to decrease insulin levels, with even 24 to 36-hour fasts showing significant results. Contrary to myths, fasting doesn't burn muscle. Studies show it decreases body weight by 6% and fat mass by 11.4%, while preserving lean mass. Rather than decreasing metabolism, fasting increases it by up to 12% as the body switches from sugar to fat burning. Unlike constant caloric restriction, which leads to metabolic adaptation, intermittent fasting breaks through resistance. Studies show that while portion control and fasting produce similar weight loss, fasting leads to significantly lower insulin levels and insulin resistance. By alternating between periods of eating, insulin dominant, and fasting, insulin deficient, we restore natural metabolic rhythm and address the root hormonal causes of obesity, not just its symptoms.